SRM represents a transformative shift in how organizations engage with suppliers. Supplier relationship management. It moves beyond transactional. So, you know, as we said, in the West, earlier it was only transactionals. So whoever is giving you the right quality and the right price or the lowest price, you buy the material from them. When you talk of SRM, you're talking of a long-term relationship. You're talking of a partnership. So here, this is what we mean by it moves beyond transactional procurement to establish a strategic partnership. And partnership is the most important word here that drives mutual benefit. Mutual benefit as win-win for both the parties. So what are the key objectives of supplier relationship management? Maximizing long-term value. Not just short-term cost saving. So we saw that in the transactional thing, we only looked at whether they can supply the material, whether they can supply the right quality, and are they the cheapest. So this is a very, very short-term kind of a thing. But in a long-term thing, you are building a partnership. You are building certain transparency with your supplier. And it's a relationship that you build. A relationship built on trust. So this is the difference between the short term and the long term. So building trust based relationship to enhance innovation and efficiency. So even suppliers are actually encouraged to come with suggestions on innovation and on ideas to improve the efficiency of their operations and of your products as well. Aligning supplier partnership with business goals for supply chain resilience. So fairly simple. I mean, I don't need to explain that. So the shift from transactional to strategic supplier engagement. Traditional procurement focuses on price negotiation and short-term needs, whereas SRM takes a holistic approach. How does it do that? So one, developing long-term alliances with critical suppliers. And this doesn't happen all across. You may be buying some small quantities, you may be buying some fasteners or some engineering spares, etc. So you are not investing this kind of efforts everywhere. But critical raw materials which are mission critical for your organization. So these are the ones that you shortlist and you develop a long-term alliance with these kind of critical suppliers, encouraging continuous collaboration for efficiency and innovation. So typically, let's look at automobile industry. This would, be done with key partners, who are supplying major components like the engine block or the metal sheet, which forms, the body of the automobile, etc. Or the paint suppliers, etc., who are nowadays, of course, you have a trend where the paint shop is entirely managed by the paint company. And here also the partnership works. So the paint company takes total accountability and responsibility for the quality of the paint job. Any defects, etc., which are emerging, they are totally accountable for it and they will handle the entire process. Encouraging continuous collaboration for efficiency and innovation, we already covered that. Enhancing supply chain stability through proactive risk management. So there are bound to be risk, when you can have, certain strikes, lockouts, warlike situation, internal rifts, etc. Even disruptions, as far as the traffic, etc. is concerned, floods, fires, etc. So one has to mitigate this kind of risk. So you enhance the stability and the resilience of the supply chain by risk management, proactive risk management. So what are the benefits of effective SRM, supplier relationship management? A well-executed SRM strategy enhances collaboration, transparency, and alignment between the buyer and the supplier. I don't need to explain this further. We have explained it enough. So by shifting procurement towards strategic partnership models, business unlocks significant competitive advantage, because the negotiation, etc., you know, become automatic. There is transparency, and you are clearly agreeing to you know, the cost structure of the supplier and the margin they need to keep to, you know, for a sustainable business, etc. So entire process becomes very, very transparent, and this gives a competitive advantage to both the supplier as well as the buyer. Key benefits: improved supplier performance. So enhances product and service quality through joint improvement initiatives. So instead of a blame game, or, you know, just saying that, oh, this is bad material, etc., you have team meetings to basically discuss the issues on how you can jointly improve the quality of the product or the service. Improves delivery reliability to ensure operational continuity, because there is a lot of transparency. Any issues faced by the supplier is immediately communicated to the buyer. So there is delivery reliability and operational continuity. So in case of any issues, etc., even the buyer can jump in and try and help the supplier overcome the shortage, or, you know, the supply challenges that they may be facing. Reduces cost via bulk purchasing and streamlined processes. So even, you know, when you know the quantities that you're going to purchase from the supplier, you can jointly actually make commitments whereby your supplier can procure material in bulk or commit it in bulk, so that they get some advantage in pricing from their suppliers. And this benefit will then be passed on to the buyer, that is your business or your organization. Reduced risk and supply chain resilience. So provides greater visibility into supplier operations because of the transparency. Implements proactive risk mitigation strategies. So we said that, you know, we have looked at all the possible risk and how we can mitigate them. So what kind of safety stocks need to be held by the supplier, so that, you know, in case of any delays in materials, etc., or any outages like power outage, etc., or in case of any logistical challenges, how they can, you know, continue to operate and, you know, ensure that your operations are not affected. Enables early identification of disruptions, safeguarding continuity. We already discussed this also. Increased innovation and access to new technologies. Because of the transparency, whenever you are introducing a new product, designing a new component, the supplier is involved. He is contributing, collaborating, so he can give his ideas on how to optimally make that product, or even if some minor changes need to be made to the component, etc., or the raw material, which will basically help them reduce the cost. Enhanced communication and collaboration. Obviously, the transparency and the communication and the collaboration is going to bring in the transparency. Lower total cost of ownership. So minimizes any hidden cost related to quality failures and delays. I don't need to explain this, because it's fairly simple, common sense. Streamlines procurement and operational efficiency, because, you know, the release of the purchase order or the call off, etc., becomes more of a formality, and there is a lot of assurance, you know, that materials will be received as per the call off which are given. Stronger, more reliable supply base builds a resilient supply network, reducing dependency. So when you are doing this with all your critical materials, it could be raw materials, it could be some components, etc., then you are building an entire network of resilient supplier. and sometimes for the same component or the same raw material, you can have a supplier relationship management with multiple supplier, especially when you have a very large requirement. So you are having multiple suppliers who are highly capable, highly dependable, and with whom you have got a high level of transparency. Not all suppliers hold the same strategic importance or present the same risk level. So we said that, you know, we are looking at only the critical materials and the supplier of those material. We are not going to, you know, have a supplier relationship building, you know, exercise with every supplier, even the people who are, you know, going to supply spares once in a while for the maintenance of your equipment, etc. So this is what we mean by not all suppliers hold the same strategic importance. SRM employs supplier segmentation to optimize efficiency, mitigate risk, and drive long-term value. So obviously, depending upon the critical nature of the material and how critical they are to your product and the business, will decide the segmentation. Kraljic matrix, a supplier segmentation framework. So suppliers are categorized based on two dimensions. One, strategic importance, the extent to which the purchase item or service impacts profitability and organizational objective. So as we said, you know, in the example of automobile, you know, somebody who supplies the engine block or somebody who actually assembles the engine for you and delivers the assembled engine, he obviously will be a strategic importance. Similarly, somebody who supplies the transmission, somebody who supplies the metal sheet, the steel sheet, which is used to make the body of the automobile. So these are of high strategic importance because they are going to impact profitability and the organizational objective. Supply risk. So in some cases, the supply risk may be high for certain items. And if those products are not supplied on time, then you can have a stoppage of your production line. So the complexity and potential disruptions within the supply market, that is limited number of suppliers, scarcity of the material, technological dependence. So we, even in some of the previous chapters, we saw how today we are dependent on rare earth metals on China. And we find that only China is a major supplier of these. And these rare earths are used for making the permanent magnets, which are necessary for certain type of motors, including the motors which are used in the electric vehicles. So these are the areas where you will have to, you know, identify or segment the suppliers. So why supplier segmentation matters? One, it prioritizes the supplier engagement based on strategic importance. So you are clearly identifying which are the suppliers where you would like to establish the relationship and work very closely, because you don't have the bandwidth or the manpower to engage with large number of suppliers across the spectrum, you know, across your materials. So you are going to identify only critical suppliers who are of strategic importance. Enhances supply chain agility, reducing dependency risk. So you are also, you know, identifying suppliers who are going to affect the agility of your supply chain, and where, you know, you have less number of suppliers, where you have large number of suppliers, maybe you have many options and you can actually call the material from a different supplier in case one supplier is unable to respond. Strengthen critical partnerships, driving innovation and competitive edge. So even in industries where innovation is the key and innovation drives the competitive edge, so there you need to have a critical partnership where companies, you know, the suppliers can develop innovative solutions for you. One example is iPhone, you know, where they have suppliers who are constantly coming up with innovations. So now let's look at the types of relationship. So one is the transactional relationship. These are for materials which are of low importance and low risk. So these are standard non-critical items with minimal operational impact. The focus here is efficiency and cost minimization. So you just want to minimize the cost, procure the materials in the most efficient way. So there is a limited collaboration here beyond the basic procurement. So not much effort is being put here. Leverage relationships. So these are materials of high importance but relatively low risk. So high value items where the buyer holds strong negotiation power. This could be materials where there is a monopoly or duopoly of these suppliers. Focus competitive pricing and cost control. So here you are trying to develop a relationship so that you can get competitive pricing and you are able to manage the cost of the product that you're procuring. Procurement activity optimizes contracts and sourcing agreements. So you try to enter into agreements, contracts based on volume that you're going to buy, etc., so that you can get the best possible prices based on the volumes that you're purchasing. Bottleneck relationship. So here again, these are low importance but high risk items. So unique or scarce material creating supply vulnerabilities. We talked about the rare earth metals for the permanent magnets that would come in this kind of a category. So they may be a small component to your entire product, but they have a high risk. So if you don't get the product, it can affect your entire product, the finished product. Focus risk mitigation and alternative sourcing. So you need to look at alternative sources to mitigate the risk. Strategies, supplier diversification and stability enhancement. So you need to look at other options. And just to give an example, in case of rare earth, there are certain rare earths which are available in India which can replace the rare earths that we are getting from China. So yes, they may be slightly less effective as compared to the rare earths that we get from China, but they can do the job and they can deliver on the performance. So this is the kind of a diversification which can be undertaken. Strategic alliance relationship. So these are high importance and high risk items. So critical suppliers with high impact goods or service in complex supply chain. So again, we come to the example of automobile, where we talked about the transmission, we talked about the engine, we talked about the body. In case of a mobile phone, it will be obviously the people who supply the screen, etc., the touch screen, because you have few suppliers for this kind of quality products, and they also have a very high bearing on your final product. So they are high importance and high risk. So the focus here is deep collaboration, joint innovation, and long-term alignment. So you can understand this when we talk about the automotive industry or the mobile phones, etc. Organizations co-develop solutions and invest in mutual growth. So just take the example of, again, iPhone. Whenever they are coming out with a new model, they are working very closely with the people who are supplying the touchscreen, etc. Especially now, you come across, phones with foldable screens. So naturally, you need to work very closely with these suppliers to develop this kind of innovation. So coming to supplier performance management and evaluation. So effective SRM requires a structured approach to monitor supplier performance, improve collaboration, and mitigate the risk. Fairly straightforward. So what are the key performance indicators to track? On-time delivery rates. So like I said, you know, the on-time delivery is one part of the timely delivery. Nowadays we are using the metric of on-time in full. So whether, you know, you received the material on time and the entire quantity, that means you had asked for, let's say, 5 tons of material. So did you receive that entire 5 tons, or did you receive less than 5 tons? Or if you're buying components, did you receive the entire number of components, or you received only part of them? So this is what we mean by on time in full. You, both the conditions have to be fulfilled. Defect rates. So measuring the product and service quality. What is the defect in terms of parts per million or percentage of defect? Like, for example, if you're buying some raw material, like a chemical or something, then you would look at what percentage of the supplies were good, or conversely, what percentage was not meeting your requirement, or which was not meeting the quality criteria. Cost saving achieved, evaluating the procurement efficiency. So in procurement also, you know, the collaboration, how you have been able to achieve cost savings through the collaborative or even the supplier coming forward with their suggestions, or with alternative products or services which fulfill your purpose, at the same time bring down your cost. Supplier response times, assessing agility and reliability, how reliable they are and how agile they are, how quickly they can change or respond to your urgent needs. Innovation contributions. So recognizing supplier driving advancements. So how innovative are they? Are they coming out with new ideas? Are they suggesting new solutions for your end product? Supplier performance tracking systems. So you have one, the scorecards. It's a structured evaluation using a predefined KPIs, key performance indicators. Regular reviews. So periodic assessment of the supplier performance. So this can happen typically like every quarter. In some cases, it happens every 6 months. And in some industries, they do it every year. And generally, they have a meeting with the supplier where they discuss the performance and areas for improvement. Feedback mechanisms, open dialogue to support continuous improvement. Now, this can happen more frequently. Many organizations have a monthly or a quarterly kind of a meeting with the supplier. So the supplier and the buyer, they meet and, you know, identify areas for improvement. And the feedback, whatever is the feedback as perceived by the buying organization, or even sometimes the supplier. So supplier can actually suggest means by which the buyer can help them perform better. Collaboration and communication in SRM. The success of SRM hinges on strong communication and collaborative engagement. We have seen how that works. Key collaboration strategies, establishing effective communication channels. So what are the kind of communication channels? Regular meetings, supplier portals, and real-time tracking. So real-time tracking, etc., is how the supplier informs you on the location or the exact location of the material while it's being delivered. Supplier portals, so many places, we talked about the courier, if you're sending a document and you want to track where the document is, you just have to take the tracking number or the airway bill number or docket number, put it on the portal, and then you know exactly where it is and when it is likely to be delivered. Regular meetings, so in case of the supplier, mostly, wherever you are having collaboration with the supplier, there is a face-to-face meeting, or if that is not possible, you can have even an online meeting. Sharing information transparently. So forecast strategic plans and performance expectations, align supplier with business objective. So when you're collaborating, you are sharing the forecast so that not only you, but your supplier also knows what kind of requirement is going to be there in the coming months. So in case they have raw materials which have long lead times, they can plan for the procurement of those raw materials. Strategic plans. So even if there are any strategic plans for discontinuing introduction of a new product or changes to the existing products being sourced from them, these need to be shared with them proactively. Performance expectations. So you are clearly stating what are the expectations from the supplier that you have, so that they are fully aware of what is expected out of them. Joint problem solving and innovation. So engaging suppliers in co-development and research initiatives. So there are two issues. When you say problem solving, it can be defects, which you want to eradicate. So where you can actually do a joint exercise of finding the root cause, why the defects are appearing, and also in development of new products, which we already talked about. When you're developing a new product, you involve and you collaborate with these suppliers during the design phase. Risk management in SRM. A critical aspect of SRM is proactively identifying and mitigating supplier risk. So we already talked about this, that you need to look at all the possible risks based on the geographical location, the challenges that may exist based on logistics, based on various other issues, including natural calamities, etc. Key supplier risks to evaluate. One is financial risk, supplier insolvency or financial instability. So if the supplier, the business with your organization may be very fair, may be profitable, but overall, what is the financial health of the supplier? Whether they are facing a risk of insolvency, etc. So this is something that needs to be evaluated and mitigated. Operational risks, disruption in production or quality issues. So disruption in production can be due to power outages, can be because of being cut off, from the supply lines for logistics, or not getting the raw material on time, or quality issues. That means suddenly changes happening in the material or in the processes, which can actually result in quality issues, even internal strikes, lockout, etc. Ethical risks, non-compliance with labor, environmental, and legal regulations. So is the supplier compliant with the labor laws, environmental laws? You are aware that many companies are not compliant with the environmental laws. And what happens is the pollution control board, generally whenever they detect such non-compliance, they give a notice and they issue a closure notice. So the unit has to be closed. Now, when that happens, obviously, your supplies will be disrupted. So it's important that your suppliers are compliant so that you do not face this kind of disruptions or stoppages of supply. Labor laws, things like child labor, they should not be engaging people who are below the age of 18 years in any of their operations. And different legal regulations, other legal regulations. So this is necessity. Geopolitical risks, political instability or trade restrictions affecting the supply. So this is fairly simple. Political instability can be both, political unions, etc. Or even the local situation, where the company is located. risk mitigation strategies, supplier diversification. So wherever you find that the supplier, there is a certain risk which is probable, so you need to diversify your supplier. So avoiding over-reliance on a single provider. So you have two or three, suppliers, so that in case of any contingency, any risk actually materializing, you can switch to the other suppliers. Contingency planning, backup sourcing plans for critical suppliers. So contingency could be, natural calamities or, supplies not able to connect because of logistical issues, floods, earthquake, etc. So there has to be a backup sourcing plan. Again, you need to have some suppliers other than the one that you're going to depend on. Supplier audits, assessing compliance, capability, and ethical practices. You need to have regular audits, maybe once a year or once every 2 years, which will assess the compliance of the supplier with the regulations, as we saw in the case above, with the labor laws, environmental laws, etc. Organizations that integrate proactive risk management within SRM strengthen resilience, optimize procurement, and achieve sustainable growth. So this is self-explanatory, that if you are taking care of all these things, then your supply chain is going to be resilient. That means you will not face any surprises, any shocks, and you will be able to optimize your procurement and you will have a sustainable growth. So coming to artificial intelligence and its transformative role in procurement and SRM. So AI is fundamentally changing procurement and SRM by enabling data-driven strategies, process automation, and intelligent supplier management. So we have seen this in the earlier chapters, that AI can do all these. The KPIs that need to be monitored, for assessment of the supplier in terms of delivery performance, quality performance, the AI system can support you, through the system. Even where you have multiple suppliers, it can actually assess all these suppliers and tell you which supplier is most reliable or most cost effective. So sometimes, the supplier who is supplying the material cheaper may not be the most cost effective, because if you find that there are frequent rejections, etc., you are unable to use the material, and there is a cost of raising a complaint, investigations, sending the material back to the supplier, etc. So when you look at the end analysis, one has to look at the overall performance to look at the cost-effective suppliers. It enhances decision-making beyond traditional methods, because AI helps you with the analysis, the analytics, and helps you in the decision-making, or sometimes it makes the decision for you, giving you a very objective kind of assessment of the suppliers, providing predictive insights, risk assessment, and optimization tools. So looking at the historical data, it will also tell you that, what are the risks associated based on any past incident. It will help you to optimize your procurement from the suppliers based on the most resilient supplier, etc. AI enables a shift from reactive decision making to proactive and strategic procurement planning. So in the traditional system, where manually you are doing the supplier assessment, etc., it takes considerable amount of time to actually do a comparison or assessment of the suppliers. As against this, when you are using AI, you are able to get a continuous and updated assessment of the supplier. And this, makes it a proactive process. So you don't have to wait, or you don't react to a situation after you've had a bad experience, it proactively warns you, of what are the risks in dealing with certain supplier and what are the benefits dealing with others. Key AI capabilities in procurement and SRM. So one, automated sourcing process that minimizes manual effort. So here, the AI can actually automate a lot of your activities. So you have a purchase requisition, you have a open order, and the AI will automatically release the call off or even release the purchase order as and when the material is required by the operations management or based on the planning and scheduling. So these kind of mundane jobs, can be automated using AI. Advanced analytics for supplier evaluation and selection. So it can do the supplier evaluation using multiple criteria, and it can tell you which supplier is the most beneficial as far as sourcing of certain materials are concerned. Predictive forecasting to anticipate pricing and demand trends. So even when you find that you're buying certain components which are made from steel or from non-ferrous metal, etc., the predictive forecasting can actually look at what are the prices of these non-ferrous material in the market, and it can predict when the prices of these materials, when they are going up, it can forewarn you that you can anticipate increase in prices. Or likewise, even when there are trends in the market which are going to lead to an increase in demand of your finished product, it can warn you about those, which is what we discussed as part of the demand forecasting cycle. Proactive risk identification to prevent supplier failure. So even if your supplier's material are coming from overseas, so like we said that in many cases non-ferrous metals, etc., are being traded through the London Metal Exchange. So in such cases, AI systems can proactively warn you about certain failures or certain shortages which are created in the market. Again, rare earth comes to my mind, the rare earth metals for the permanent magnets. Enhanced negotiation strategies, improving contract efficiency. So it can also help you in enhancing your negotiation strategies and help you with the planning, help you reduce the working capital, calling off material, not too much in advance, so that you get the material when you really need it or just before you need it.